My name is Ben Greenfield, and on this episode of the Ben Greenfield Life Podcast.
The central nervous system can be stressed when you're methylating poorly and you have a high toxin load, or mold, or any other chronic stealth co-infection. And this one's pretty straightforward, but you have to downregulate the nervous system. You know, you have to engage in, you know, stress and meditative practices, prayer, gratitude, breath work, for example, all the things that you would consider to be things that would tone the vagus nerve and thus decrease stress by balancing the parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous systems. Those should be daily practices. And from a biohacking standpoint, yeah, you can certainly upregulate or accelerate that process of restoring nervous system health.
Fitness, nutrition, biohacking, longevity, life optimization, spirituality, and a whole lot more. Welcome to the Ben Greenfield Life Show. Are you ready to hack your life? Let's do this. I wake up every morning and I make myself a giant mason glass jar full of adrenal support. That's right. Whole food vitamin C from acerola fruit extract and sodium from Redmond's Real Salt that has over 60 trace minerals to support my adrenal glands, which, based on my lifestyle, do tend to get pooped out if I don't pay attention to giving them the fuel that they need. This stuff is third-party label claim verified, a 100% money-back guarantee, and it is brought to you by one of my favorite companies out there for this kind of support, Jigsaw Health. Jigsaw Health Adrenal Cocktail is what it's called, with whole food vitamin C. Visit JigsawAC.com and use Greenfield10 to get 10% off your order. JigsawAC.com and use Greenfield10 to get 10% off your order. All right, folks, clinical research has shown that therapeutically and for overall health and well-being, the most critical time to ground is when you sleep. The electrons you absorb when grounding neutralizes free radical damage, squelches inflammation, restores healthy endocrine function, enhances cellular gating and circulation. That then improves the cellular uptake of nutrients and oxygen and hormones while maximizing the removal of cellular waste. And you can now ground when you sleep. This company called Ultimate Longevity makes indoor grounded sleeping devices, and they've done clinical research studies on grounding the human body for health. When you sleep on these mats, you get 6 to 8 hours of uninterrupted grounding, meaning I could travel, unroll it onto my hotel room bed, and fight all of the radiation, the inflammation I got from flying in the airplane right there during a full night of sleep. Full body grounding, which is what these mats give you versus just your feet on the ground, maximizes the electron transfer because the more surface area contact, the more beneficial the electrons, the more the results. So you get these amazing benefits, and inside your body, this stream of electrons works as an anti-inflammatory, pain-relieving, anti-aging, antioxidant boost, squelching inflammation all night long. They've got over 20 peer-reviewed research studies that have been published on the extensive health benefits of grounding. For vagal tone, serum electrolytes, thyroid function, blood glucose, blood viscosity, sleep, pain, stiffness, blood pressure, stress, even depression and anxiety. It's crazy. So you can go to ultimatelongevity.com/Ben to get your hands on these grounding mats. You can do mattress, pillow, blankets, a whole bunch of other valuable tools to help you bring your inflammation down and jumpstart your healing process. Again, it's ultimatelongevity.com/Ben. Hey, so I just got back from a trip and I did not feel complete at night because I forgot I left behind, gosh darn it, in my rush to get to the airplane, my little vibrating device that I put on before I go to bed at night. It's not that kind of vibrator. It's a different kind of vibrator. It's called an Apollo, and it gently vibrates when you wear it around your wrist, around your ankle, and will lull you into a state of deep sleep, low anxiety, huge increase in heart rate variability and nervous system recovery. You can use it during the day at different settings for focus and for concentration. They've already done 6 clinical trials on this, with 9 more underway, and shown that it actually trains your nervous system to rebalance more quickly. They even have a social setting you can wear at night as kind of like an addition to or alternative to a cocktail. The Apollo wearable works without side effects. It's safe for children. Both my sons have one. It's safe for adults. I obviously have one. And you can head over to apolloneuro.com/Ben Greenfield. Apollo, A-P-O-L-L-O, neuro, neuro.com/Ben Greenfield. And use code BG15 for 15% off. Check it out. Apollo.
Hi, it's Erin from the Ben Greenfield Life team. The interview you are about to hear is with mold expert Brian Carr. Ben was a guest on Brian's podcast called Mold Finders. Brian was gracious enough to allow us to share this helpful episode with you here on Ben's podcast. They discuss longevity principles and biohacks that can be applied to health issues that stem from mold exposure. As you know, mold can affect your brain, gut, skin, and your nervous system. It creates chronic inflammatory conditions and mitochondrial dysfunction. Ben provides a host of helpful applications to many of these issues. Please enjoy this helpful discussion between Brian and Ben. You can find the show notes at bengreenfieldlife.com/moldfinder. That's bengreenfieldlife.com/moldfinder.
For everyone listening, you know, a lot of times it's either me talking about specific things in your house, which is not the purpose of this episode, or I'm typically bringing on health experts to come in and talk more about, you know, on the medical side of things, specific to, you know, environmental exposures, Lyme disease, you know, cognitive decline, all these different things, right? The interesting thing about Ben and what I'm like so excited to talk about with you is there are things that we can do to optimize ourselves outside of, you know, treating a particular, you know, disease that we, that has been like put upon us or symptoms that we have or something like that. And that there are ways to do that that are not necessarily incredibly expensive either. And I think a lot of this stuff people just don't really know about. And what my goal and my hope is, and what we could talk about today, is looking at the world of biohacking, but more so in the lens of how do we attack a couple of key issues, which I'll outline in a second, that most of the user base or the listener base here has, as opposed to biohacking in like the lens of longevity, right? Because I think a lot of the biohacking stuff is really set in this like longevity lens, which is great. But if we have specific things that we're trying to achieve in a short term, and there's specific, you know, kind of core body issues that are going on, what are some of those like larger longevity kind of principles that we can apply to something a little more specific, and maybe even adaptations of those principles if someone is more hypersensitive, for example? So to give you some context, Ben, you know, people that we work with, you know, in our business, and then people that you obviously listen to the show, a lot of them are impacted by mold toxins, environmental exposures. And ultimately what's happening is that there's a chronic inflammatory condition that's getting created throughout the body. And generally there's a mitochondrial dysfunction that's associated with that, and how it manifests can be all over the place if you have chronic inflammation. But I would say some of the primary areas, you know, that we see a lot is in the brain. So you're talking like brain fog, cognitive decline, dementia, you know, early onset, all, you know, things like that. Big time gut issues are tied into this. So, you know, leaky gut, overgrowth, parasites, things like that. And then like skin, you know, eczema breakouts, things like that, that a lot of times are tied to gut in general. And nervous system stuff, where you're talking more like anxiety, depression, sleep, insomnia, stuff like that. So those are kind of the four, I would say, like most common buckets that I see from our clients and in turn, probably people who are listening here. So it's brain, gut, nervous system, skin are kind of the four areas, I think. Yeah. But the underlying root cause to a lot of that, specific to who's listening here, is a chronic inflammatory issue, which in turn is, you know, causing a mitochondrial dysfunction in addition to that. And so with that lens, looking at it, the one other thing that I want to throw out here in this little game that we're going to play here, I guess, is this additional consideration that when someone is chronically ill and they are, you know, trying to go through treatments or modalities or things they're trying to do to kind of improve, sometimes the level of sensitivity in the person, like they might be so toxic or so overboard on what's going on that, for example, sitting in a sauna is not tenable to that person, let's say, because it's releasing too much. It's there too much for their body to handle. So what I would love to try to do and talk about here are kind of key biohacking principles that can apply to a general chronic inflammatory, you know, kind of reduction, let's say. And then are there adaptations of some of those core principles that are like a lesser kind of, you know, concentration or severity or extent of that item that can maybe be executed for someone like that? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. You know, and there's a lot of places we could go with all of that. But I suppose the first thing that comes to mind for me when you bring that up is that, you know, when I work with someone and I'm looking over their blood work and their labs, and also, you know, wearable data like HRV and sleep, and things that are reflective of nervous system health, I often see what I would describe as a four-legged stool, meaning that you'll tend to see a cluster of issues in people who also tend to be susceptible to chronic stealth co-infections like mold, Lyme, Epstein-Barr, et cetera. The first tends to be some kind of genetic methylation deficit. You know, I don't think that that's the root cause of every issue that exists, but you do tend to see that repeatedly in people. And that's obviously something that can be easily ascertained via salivary DNA analysis to see how impaired your methylation pathways might be. But, you know, first of all, treating that is important with bioavailable sources of natural folic acid like methylfolate or methyl tetrahydrofolate. In some cases, that might be organ meat consumption or organ glandulars. In other cases, it might be a well-formulated multivitamin like Thorne or Designs for Health or a company that actually uses natural forms of folic acid. And that would be paired with reducing synthetic sources of folic acid that, especially in a poor methylator, can lead to homocysteine buildup and be inflammatory. And it's shocking, you know, how many so-called healthy energy drinks and multivitamins and pretty much most fortified cereals and grains are in terms of their folic acid content. But that's kind of like leg one of the stool that I tend to see.
So are we talking MTHFR gene? Is that what you're talking about here?
Yeah. There are other methylation-based genes, but yeah, that's the major one.
Got it. And so the general specifically with the folic acid one, because I've dove into this a little bit lately too. So essentially, and you can tell me if I'm understanding this incorrectly or not, correct me, but if your MTHFR, for example, is whichever one is not good, that doesn't let you process properly, then essentially, like, if you're bringing in, and I think I read this specifically for like pregnant women, like you're given folate, or folic acid, I think, generally in that sense. But if you're someone who doesn't process it properly or can methylate it properly, then you're actually getting something that your body can't process and it creates a host of other problems. Is that the general idea
with
that?
Right. Conversion to homocysteine and elevated inflammation. So yeah, folic acid is just generally a good idea to avoid, but especially if you're a poor methylator, it would be something to begin inspecting food labels for while simultaneously saturating your body with natural sources of methylfolate. So that would be the first. The second would be if you are a poor methylator because the methylation process supports things like DNA repair, you know, detoxification, etc., you will usually see accumulation of metals and toxins to a higher extent than you would see in a poor methylator. And so in addition to methylation support, you need to consider detoxification support, with, of course, the problem being that if the third leg of the stool is present, which you already alluded to, chronic inflammatory response or cell danger response, you know, essentially the body being stuck in almost like a fight or flight sympathetic nervous system scenario, many detoxification strategies that are recommended to folks tend to be at least initially a little bit too harsh or stressful. And you have to begin with some very, very simple concepts. I think probably the top two, or I would say three actually in this case, would be movement, not CrossFit, you know, not high intensity interval training, but literally walking, light swimming, stretching, yoga, etc. Second would be some form of G-forces that allow you to address lymph circulation, such as Tai Chi shaking, rebounding on a mini trampoline, or even self-inflicted lymphatic massage. For example, one thing, I actually do this, don't laugh, I do this when I'm jumping up and down on a trampoline. You don't have to do that. I just do it because the G-forces that you get from a trampoline really allow for better lymph fluid circulation and detoxification. But there are certain lymph points that you can massage and tap to improve lymph circulation, but not necessarily need hefty amounts of sweating at a high temp sauna or, you know, hefty amounts of exercise. Those points are the collarbone right here. Like, you can kind of massage that and tap it back kind of underneath the ears behind the jawbone, where you would tend to get like a sore throat and swollen lymph glands. Again, you can massage it and tap it. And usually I'll just do about a minute per area. Then the armpit area, kind of like at the edge of the chest right underneath there, massage and tap the stomach, right? Massage. And sometimes the stomach I'll do a longer period of time on because it feels really good to just slap, 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 slap. The inguinal and the groin, same thing, massage and slap. And then the back of the knees is where you finish. So you hit those six spots, and that can be really useful for kind of like a light self-inflicted lymph detoxification that doesn't require, you know, a lot of stress on the body. Now, if you can handle deep sweating, if you can handle, you know, coffee enemas, you know, if you can handle things like heat and cold therapy for more circulation, those are definitely beneficial. And at the top of the totem pole would be one of these heftier cleanses, like a Ayurvedic-based Panchakarma cleanse, or you know, Dr. John Duyard is a physician in Boulder, Colorado, who uses an Ayurvedic approach and has options for both a 5-day cleanse as well as a what he calls a 2-week Colorado cleanse. There are companies like Quicksilver Scientific that use a more, I suppose, modern approach. I have some clients go through their detox cube, which is about a 3-month protocol. Another guy in the health sector, Dr. Dan Pompa, has one called the True Cellular Detox, which is a combination of binders and liver detoxification pathway support agents. But as you alluded to, if people have some pretty significant mold symptoms, they probably want to start towards the bottom of that totem pole with just like movement, Tai Chi shaking, a little bit of lymph massage. Then you can get up to the stage where you might be doing sauna or an enema, you know, sauna a few times a week, enema on a weekly basis. Then if you feel good, you could move on to a more, you know, arguably intense detoxification protocol. But really that's the second leg of the stool would be somehow releasing, you know, the toxins or the metals that have accumulated within the body, in addition to methylation support and avoidance of synthetic folic acid. So those would be the first two things that I would consider.
No, I think this makes sense. It's the idea of like, you don't want to detox and flood toxin into your body if you can't get it out, right? And so it's start at the bottom and make sure your detox pathways, your methylation pathways are able to handle whatever you're then going to detox out in basically step two of this pyramid. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up because it is binding and releasing. And that's why even if someone were going to do, let's say, the middle part of that phase, like a regular sauna practice or the use of an enema, that's where binding agents can be useful, like chlorella or activated charcoal. But yeah, you wouldn't want to take a binding agent all on its own without engaging in the release practices, because then you're essentially just redistributing metals and toxins throughout the body. And in many cases, based on osmotic gradients, it winds up in neural tissue in the brain. And that creates a lot of mental issues for folks. So you do want to make sure you're not just like taking activated charcoal, for example. You have to combine that with releasing through stool and sweat and breath, the actual, you know, toxins. So that would be another thing to think about. The third kind of leg of the stool would be, again, what we've mentioned a couple of times, would be you are in fight and flight syndrome or fight or flight syndrome. You know, the central nervous system can be stressed when you're methylating poorly and you have a high toxin load or mold or any other chronic stealth co-infection. And this one's pretty straightforward, but you have to downregulate the nervous system. You know, you have to engage in, you know, stress and meditative practices, prayer, gratitude, breath work, for example. You know, all the things that you would consider to be things that would tone the vagus nerve and thus decrease stress by balancing the parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous systems, those should be daily practices. And from a biohacking standpoint, yeah, you can certainly upregulate or accelerate that process of restoring nervous system health. For example, a few things that you could try are vagal nerve stimulating agents. For example, there's a company called V-Lite. They have a red light stimulating collar that delivers red light directly over the vagus nerve at the back of the neck. There is a company called Truvaga and another company called Pulsetto, both of which have developed relatively affordable at-home devices that can stimulate the vagus nerve with a mild electrical signal that many people, especially people who have a high amount of sympathetic tone, find very relaxing. There are also sensory deprivation strategies. Many people will visit a float tank or use a hyperbaric oxygen chamber to kind of put themselves into a state where the world can't get at you and you're also in a very relaxing environment. And finally, there are head-worn devices. These are considered to be like light sound stimulation devices or neurofeedback-based devices that accelerate the process of nervous system repair and recovery. A few examples of good ones would be, there's one called the Brain Tap, which is a light sound stimulation machine with over 800 recipes, many of which are designed for stress control and nervous system balancing and can even be paired with breath work. There is another relatively new device called the Sense.ai, and that is basically a home-based neurofeedback unit that uses audio and visual cues to shift your body out of, say, like high stressful beta brainwave production and into more relaxed delta or theta or alpha production. Another similar light sound stimulation device that ties to an app on your phone is called the Neurovisor. That one's a little bit more powerful than the Brain Tap. Some people find it almost too stimulating. And then that same company that I mentioned, V-Light, that makes the vagal nerve stimulator, they actually have cranial and intranasal red light therapy devices that can be set to a specific Hertz frequency to, again, downregulate the nervous system using specific light cues. It's a concept called photobiomodulation. So as you can imagine, once you introduce some of these so-called biohacking technologies, you can get arguably better and faster results in a pretty safe manner than you might get from just breath work or just meditation or just a gratitude journal or something like that. And so that's what you'd want to consider for that third leg of the stool. So now we've got addressing methylation, we've got detoxification, and we've got rebalancing of the nervous system.
I know that it's invisible. I know it's spooky. I know it's weird, but quantum energy is a thing. Every unit of matter has quantum energy. Every living being constantly interacts with other quantum energy fields. And these energy fields can get depleted by toxins and EMFs and just general life stress. There is a way to actually upregulate yourself from a quantum standpoint, though. There's a company called LeelaQ, L-E-E-L-A-Q. When you see me wearing that weird necklace I'm often wearing on Instagram and in pictures and videos, that's a LeelaQ necklace. I've got a LeelaQ charger for like charging food and jewelry up in my kitchen. I've got one out in my garage that I use to charge up drinks and things that I take out of the mini fridge in the garage. I've even got their charging block in my car. So LeelaQ is very interesting. They've done third-party studies to actually look at neutralization of electromagnetic fields, increased ATP production, better HRV, and improved blood flow. So even though you can't see it and it's invisible, something's happening. I feel fantastic when I use their stuff. And they have done dark field microscopy studies, which you take a drop of blood and use a special lighting technique to look at live cells. And they've shown that the quantum technologies provide significant protective and improvement functions for the blood. So it's very interesting. It's worth trying, at least. And you get 10% off of all their stuff. You go to LeelaQ.com/Ben and use code Ben10 for 10% off. LeelaQ.com/Ben. Use code Ben10 for 10% off. Fun fact, my friend Khalil, who runs all the Sun Life Organist coffee shops, he charges up all their smoothie and all their bowl ingredients with these quantum blocks before he serves them to customers. And it's what I do in my home as well. Water, food, whatever. I'll put them in the block and it charges them up with quantum energy. And I feel better. So there you go. LeelaQ.com/Ben. Use code Ben10 for 10% off. I love Thrive Market. I am hooked on putting coconut flakes, like unsweetened, organic, natural coconut flakes, and cacao nibs, crunchy, delicious cacao nibs in my morning smoothie. I get them both by the bagful from Thrive Market. Thrive Market has everything. It's organic kid snacks and low sugar alternatives and gluten-free pantry essentials. And it's kind of like Whole Foods met Amazon and had a baby that is super attractive and very useful and allows you to eat with the highest quality ingredients and sourcing methods. But not just that, clean your home. Get personal care supplies. They got everything at Thrive Market. It lets you be healthy, and you can't find a ton of their stuff on Amazon or anywhere else because it's all right there in a healthy shopping portal where you can go guilt-free and know anything you order has been vetted. I love Thrive Market, and you're going to get 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift from Thrive Market. Go to thrivemarket.com/Ben for 30% off your order, plus, did I mention, a free $60 value gift, thrivemarket.com/Ben.
As far as the nervous system component goes, maybe to just add a little context to why it's important, maybe a little more, is to talk through, if you're in a constant sympathetic state, what does that do to your body? And it's because now your body's prioritizing different things, right? So it's really like a limiting factor in the natural healing that the body is able to do. Is that correct?
Well, sure. I mean, imagine you're at the gym doing a hard workout or a high intensity interval training cardio session or something like that. Well, your blood pressure is up, your heart rate is up, the liver is spilling massive amounts of glucose into the body. So you're hyperglycemic. If you ever test your blood glucose during a hard workout at the gym, it's usually through the roof. You are breathing rapidly. You're in a state of hypervigilance. And just imagine if you were driving down the highway in your car and all of a sudden your body felt like that. It'd freak you out, right? Because that amount of stress is something that the body can naturally handle in a situation in which it's briefly going to battle whatever, you know, from an ancestral standpoint, running from a lion or, you know, engaging in the latter parts of a hunt where you're finally taking down the animal and your heart rate's up and you're shooting and chasing it down or whatever. But yeah, long-term chronic activation of the sympathetic nervous system, as you can imagine, is exhausting, especially if you're trying to sleep at night. Right. So that's just the strategy behind this, is we want to downregulate the sympathetic nervous system. And honestly, this can be measured. I think heart rate variability, which is a measurement of the delta in terms of the heartbeat signal, the difference in time between each individual heartbeat, with the idea that there should be mild beat-to-beat variation between each heartbeat. The vagus nerve is what sends a signal to the pacemaker cells in the heart to speed up or slow down the heart rate. And in a properly toned nervous system with good sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous balance, your heart might beat and there'd be 0.8 milliseconds. And your heart would beat again, there'd be 0.89. Your heart would beat again, there'd be 0.78. And you'd see good fluctuation in terms of the beat-to-beat interval. And that would result in what would measure on a wearable, such as, I don't know, a ring or a wristwatch or a, you know, wrist device, a high heart rate variability. And of course, as you can imagine, poor vagal tone, or especially a excess state of sympathetic nervous system activity, or even overtraining in an athlete, which would be excess parasympathetic nervous system activity, actually, that would result in a low heart rate variability. So heart rate variability is a great tracking method to see how your efforts to downregulate the sympathetic nervous system are actually coming to fruition.
So in theory, if you're stimulating the vagus nerves or some of the things that we talked about here, then your HRV would go up in theory from very just top line thought process.
Yeah. And I left out one, that's cold water. Again, as you alluded to, that can be stressful for many people who are already a little bit too sympathetically activated. But the fact is, most of the benefits of vagal nerve toning from cold water come from the head and the neck getting cold. And so you can literally do cold water face dunks and not necessarily get the whole body in and have an intense shivering response. So, you know, you don't have to guilt yourself into not putting the whole body into a cold environment.
PEMF mats. So I have one of those that I actually have started using, and I noticed, like, I use it at night and I put it at 3 Hertz to try to really emphasize the delta wave, and it like, it works. I mean, I get super tired. And then I also notice, like, I wear a Whoop for sleep tracking. I also notice, like, improvements there, and it has identified that practice as a 10% positive in my recovery. Is that another way? Do you feel like that's an effective way to kind of modulate your brainwave and look at it like that?
Well, pulsed electromagnetic frequencies are going to cause a little bit more permeability in the cell membrane and essentially allow for flushing of toxins or an increase in the intake of metabolites. Sometimes it'll speed up activity of the electron transport chain. It'll decrease inflammation. It can, when you use a lower hertz frequency, as you alluded to, even shift the brain into a certain brainwave pattern. And it can work for that. I mean, I also have a PEMF device that I sleep on. It's one of the few that I could find that will stay on for 12 hours during the night. It's made by Dr. William Pawluck, P-A-W-L-U-K. P-A-W-L-U-K. That one's called the, either called the Body Balance or the Bio Balance. I forget, but you can find it on his website. But even PEMF can be very stimulating and excessively stimulating to people who are already in a hyped up state of nervous system stress. And because of that, I am totally open to the idea of, and I myself get a lot of benefit from, as do my clients, the use of grounding or earthing technologies, such as a good pair of grounding or earthing shoes or grounding or earthing straps that you outfit to your existing pair of shoes that allow you to absorb a lot of negative ions that build up on the surface of the planet when lightning strikes the planet or when solar radiation strikes the planet. You know, the Earth is basically one giant ibuprofen pill when it comes to its anti-inflammatory benefits. But, you know, for example, here in my office, I've got a grounding mat that I stand on when I'm working in my computer. I have, even though I have a PEMF mat on my bed, underneath the top sheet, I actually have a full king size grounding mat and all the pillows are grounded as well. And this can be a really good strategy for getting a lot of the benefits of PEMF with a little less of the intense stimulation. And it actually very much relates to what I would consider to be the fourth leg of the stool I was describing. And this is the one that I think a lot of people don't catch, but that is important. I mean, if you have a high metal load and you're in a state of hypersensitivity, you typically also are carrying with you some degree of electro hypersensitivity. And so I think it's a really smart idea to audit your home and your working environment for magnetic frequencies, radio frequencies, dirty electricity, and AC power surges. And, you know, I certainly have a little bit of electro hypersensitivity myself. Many people do. And I feel wonderful when I'm at home compared to when I'm at an Airbnb or at a hotel because I've got dirty electricity filters plugged into each room in the house. I don't have Wi-Fi. Everything is hardwired with metal shielded Cat 7 Ethernet cable. I've got the grounding and earthing mats that I described. I've got solar panels, but I've got a dirty electricity filter on the solar panel configuration. So I'm getting fewer AC power surges as the solar converts from DC to AC. I've had what is called a building biologist go through my home, and the guy I use was Brian Hoyer at Shielded Healing, with a series of meters that measure different forms of electricity to ensure that my body is not getting exposed to a high amount of them when I'm in my home and office space. And of course, as you can imagine, because your night of sleep is the arguably one third of your life during which the majority of nervous system repair and recovery is occurring. If there were one area of your home you were going to start with, it would be the bedroom, right? Like moving any appliances out of the bedroom, getting rid of anything that doesn't have the ability to be able to disable Wi-Fi, putting dirty electricity filters in the outlets, making sure that the lighting is flicker free and is not LED, but is OLED or biological LED or halogen or incandescent, making sure that the bed has, for example, a grounding sheet, or if you can handle it, a PEMF mat on it, and making sure that anything plugged in next to the bed has been tested and is not producing a large amount of electricity while you're asleep. So, you know, that's the part I think a lot of people miss. They'll cover, you know, they'll take all the supplements and do all the detoxes, but still just be in a Wi-Fi and electrical soup all day long. And I think that can really inhibit the healing process.
You're 100% on it. A lot of our clients specifically and people that we interact with become sensitive to EMF. And it's a big piece of what happens. And for those people who have not experienced it and aren't feeling it, you just kind of feel like that, like, how does that even happen? I feel fine. But you start adding all these different exposures and different things that your body has to deal with, and the sensitivities start to increase at an exponential rate at some point when your body is just overloaded with everything. And this, even multiple chemical sensitivity, like all these different things that like start to occur, mast cell activation, like a lot of that stuff happens after the root load of whatever your exposure is kicks in, and then just kind of starts like flooding in on top of it. And so a lot of this stuff is so cool because the way that it's that you're breaking it down, there are things here that we can do that are lesser, that are a lesser amount of severity or concentration on the body, like you describe it. And you, hey, PMF might actually do some detox, which we don't necessarily want to do if you're that sensitive. Here's grounding as an alternative to that, where you're getting benefits like that. Like this is all very helpful. And I think the goal of this is for people to be able to walk away and say, hey, how do I maximize my recovery through this process, understanding where I'm at and how many options are there? What are the different kind of levels of these options that I can do? And the fact that you're like, this knowledge base is just spitting out these things that like, while you're probably walked a mile and a half while we're talking already on your treadmill is very, very awesome and incredibly helpful.
Yeah. And you know, there are little things that I think, I don't know if you've talked about these things or not, but to consider, for example, if you are in a chronically inflamed state or have some element of cell danger response syndrome, you are going to have a higher level of reactive oxygen species and free radicals, and thus creating a scenario in which you're supporting what is called mitochondrial uncoupling can be a smart idea, meaning that you're essentially lowering the rate of free radicals produced by the electron transport chain by shifting mitochondria into essentially what you might consider to be heat production. An example of mitochondrial uncoupling strategies would be the use of bitters and herbs and spices, particularly prior to a meal. Bitter melon extract is a perfect example of that. The use of polyphenols, such as red powders or the dark blues and purples of the plant kingdom, red wine, blueberries, pomegranates, etc. You know, I even have, instead of black pepper in my pepper grinder in the kitchen, grains of paradise pepper, organic grains of paradise pepper, which I use as a spice in my kitchen, which is also a mitochondrial uncoupling agent. Ketones, you know, these are kind of like a newer trend in the health industry, these drinkable ketones that shift your body into a state of ketosis without the stress of carbohydrate and calorie restriction. Those are mitochondrial uncoupling agents. Cold is probably one of the more powerful mitochondrial uncoupling agents if you can handle it without excess stress. And of course, the best way to know that, as I described earlier, is how does your HRV respond long-term to something like cold therapy? But one thing to think about would be looking into mitochondrial uncoupling agents and weaving some of those strategies into your routine. And then the other that I would think about that might fly under the radar would be an approach to inflammation that a lot of functional medicine doctors have embraced over the years, and that has been a staple of, you know, Russian functional medicine and longevity for over 30 years. And that would be the use of peptides. And although the FDA has recently cracked down on many peptides, in my opinion, not because they're unsafe, but because I think because of pharmaceutical interest in them, because they're very effective and safe, but also very affordable. And so they're low hanging fruit for pharmaceutical companies to pick up if lobbying, as it has done successfully, can convince the FDA to classify many of them. But they're still available. Many companies are selling them, but marking them as not for human consumption, for research only. That doesn't mean you can't use them. Obviously, you know, proceed with your own research and knowing what you're getting into. But there are a few peptides that are enormously helpful for their anti-inflammatory effect. BPC-157 is one. There's another one called thymosin beta, TB500. That's another. And oral BPC-157 is still legal to get. Injectable is not legal for human consumption, but you can still get it. And these are injected very similarly to how a diabetic would inject insulin with an insulin syringe, you know, such as subcutaneously on the abdomen or the buttocks. And so peptides like that can be very effective. And there are other peptides that support the mitochondria. One of the more powerful ones is called MOTSC, M-O-T-S-C. Another very powerful one is called Epitalon, E-P-I-T-A-L-O-N. And in my opinion, if your pocketbook allows for it and you're willing to kind of use something that might be considered a little bit more fringe, you can go to websites like Peptide Sciences or Can Labs or Limitless Life, or even go through a practitioner such as BioReset Medical in San Jose or Craig Conover's clinic in South Carolina, and you can get peptides and a peptide protocol. And if you're going to use any, I'd say look into BPC 157 and TB 500 for inflammation, and then MOTC and Epitalon for the mitochondrial support. And many people get results far more quickly once they begin incorporating peptides into their healing protocol.
Can you explain what peptides are and what they do?
They're very short chains of amino acids that directly travel to the organ or the tissue for which they are, they're synthesized to target. So in the case of BPC 157, that acts as a healing gastric peptide and also as an anti-inflammatory agent for joints and also as an anti-inflammatory agent systemically. TB 500 would have a greater effect on the thymus gland and also on tendons and ligaments. MOTC and Epitalon, those would both act on the mitochondrial membrane to support that while also decreasing inflammation in the mitochondria. And actually, if you take a deep dive into the Russian research, there are over 30 different peptides called peptide bioregulators. A guy named Dr. Kavinson has done research on decreased all-cause risk of mortality with the use of these. And there are companies like Anti-Aging Systems that literally sell peptide bioregulators designed to target each organ. And again, this might sound like a little bit of a hefty biohack for many people or a lot to do, but just one single 10-day protocol of peptide bioregulators can be rejuvenating for the entire organ system. It just requires, you're basically swallowing like 30 capsules a day for 10 days in a row. But that, you know, that's like kind of like the top of the totem pole as far as peptides are concerned. But yeah, they're just amino acid chains that target specific organs or organ functions.
This is awesome. This is all really cool. I know we're running up on time. Is there anything else that you feel like that we should throw out here and kind of the spirit of what we're chatting about today?
You know, I would imagine that people who listen to your podcast, Brian, they already have been exposed to some of your recommendations on testing, both testing the environment and testing their body. But I would encourage people to do research and to understand that, you know, the average so-called mold eradication expert might not actually be doing the right type of testing for your environment. You know, for example, just like a simple air test in the center of the room in a house, or, you know, you might have a doctor who maybe will do a NutriVal panel or a metabolomics panel for mold markers, but they're not actually doing a urinary mycotoxin or even in some cases a hair analysis. So, you know, just make sure that I would say, you know, I would trust Brian a lot of the information he has. There's a great website called Surviving Mold, which I'm sure you're aware of as well, Brian, and good resources out there. But, you know, I would say just make sure that you are testing intelligently, both your body and your environment. And then armed with that knowledge, you can dive into some of these strategies I've just explained. And of course, some of the environmental and biological mold eradication strategies that Brian, I'm sure, has talked about in his podcast.
Awesome, Ben. Listen, I feel like this flew by. There's just so much here, which is awesome. Really, really appreciate you taking the time to talk through all this stuff with us. And I'm sure everybody listening is very appreciative and grateful as well.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, man. I hope it's been helpful, and keep up the good work. People need this information in an era in which we are indoors way more than I would say what we're meant to be or what we're designed to be. The mold issue is, of course, just a growing concern when you pair that with stress and with the cell danger response and, you know, methylation issues. I think that this is a very, very important topic for people to be aware of. So thank you for being a resource for people.
Yeah, absolutely. We're coming up on Christmas, by the way. So happy holidays to you too, as we get there.
Yes. Get your mold-free Christmas tree.
All right. Thanks, Ben.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
Do you want free access to comprehensive show notes, my weekly roundup newsletter, cutting-edge research and articles, top recommendations from me for everything that you need to hack your life, and a whole lot more? Check out BenGreenfieldLife.com. It's all there. BenGreenfieldLife.com. See you over there. Most of you who listen don't subscribe, like, or rate this show. If you're one of those people who do, then a huge thank you. But here's why it's important to subscribe, like, and or rate this show. If you do that, that means we get more eyeballs. We get higher rankings. And the bigger the Ben Greenfield Life show gets, the bigger and better the guests get, and the better the content I'm able to deliver to you. So hit subscribe, leave a ranking, leave a review if you got a little extra time. It means way more than you might think. Thank you so much. Want free access to comprehensive show notes, my weekly roundup, cutting-edge research and articles, my top recommendations for everything that you need to hack your life, and much more? Visit BenGreenfieldLife.com. In compliance with the FTC guidelines, please assume the following about links and posts on this site. Most of the links going to products are often affiliate links, of which I receive a small commission from sales of certain items, but the price is the same for you, and sometimes I even get to share a unique and somewhat significant discount with you. In some cases, I might also be an investor in a company I mention. I'm the founder, for example, of Keon LLC, the makers of Keon-branded supplements and products, which I talk about quite a bit. Regardless of the relationship, if I post or talk about an affiliate link to a product, it is indeed something I personally use, support, and with full authenticity and transparency, recommend in good conscience. I personally vet each and every product that I talk about. My first priority is providing valuable information and resources to you that help you positively optimize your mind, body, and spirit. And I'll only ever link to products or resources, affiliate or otherwise, that fit within this purpose. So there's your fancy legal disclaimer.